Welcome to the Authors Who Lead podcast. This podcast is dedicated to you, people who want to be inspired by authors, leaders, and the messages they share. This is such an important podcast to us because we help uncover what goes on behind the scenes when authors are writing their book. We talk about the process. We talk about where they get big ideas, and you can listen in on those conversations. We can't wait for you to join us, so let's get started. Hey everyone, Asul Taronis. Welcome back to another episode. Today I'm going to talk to you about the five biggest mistakes that I see first-time authors making. And maybe you make it more than once, but I'm hoping that if you haven't published a book before and this is new to you and you're on this journey, maybe you've started writing or maybe you haven't, that you consider these things because they're so essential to the success of your book. Sometimes authors will put months, years, hopefully not decades, but a long time in writing a book. And what they put off is something they don't realize will hurt them in the end. And I'm going to talk about those things so you can understand what you can do, even if you're in the middle of writing process and haven't done these things. If you start right now, you'll be ahead of the game. So let's talk about it. Most people don't know that most books, whether they're traditionally published or published from a hybrid small independent publisher or from self-publishing, don't sell more than 400 copies. Now, I know that's a staggering statistic, but it's true. So I just want you to understand something, that just because you have a traditional publisher doesn't mean you're going to sell a lot more copies just because of that. The landscape of publishing has changed over the last several years, particularly in the last decade, and it makes it more difficult to get your book noticed because, as you know, there's more vie for your attention these days than anything else. There are more books published now than ever before. There might be 2 million books published and put out in the world, and that means you're up against a lot of competition. So knowing those things, getting ahead of the game will help you get ready for getting your book into the world and get it in the hands of the readers you intend to read your book. Now, what I want you to tell you is that these five things will help you kind of align yourself back to the book. Now, none of this really has to do with the writing process itself. The majority of these have to do with either the mindset or the actions you take while you're writing the book. And the reason I want to tell you about this is, oftentimes I'll get authors who have published a book and they want to know how they can get it marketed better. Well, I'm going to give you some advice that isn't just marketing, but it's about how you should think about your book going throughout the process. So let's dive right in. So the first biggest mistake I see first-time authors make is that they think they will have more time if they put off their writing for later. Meaning, maybe they've started writing their book, maybe they've started writing down their ideas, or even started writing a chapter. But what they do is think, you know what, I can't finish my book now, or I can't even start it now because I'm too busy. And because I'm too busy, I need to wait until I have less things on my plate. And a lot of that seems logical if you're busy and you run a business, or you're a leader at work, or you have children, or you have outside things like extracurricular things that take your attention. You have your job. There's lots going on. Most people perceive that they're going to be less busy in the future. And I'm here to tell you that you can't control what will happen in the future. You never know what will happen in the future that make it actually even more difficult to write a book. You just assume that once I finish this project, or once I take care of this particular action, I'll do better. But the truth is, we don't know. We really don't know if taking that action will help their book be better. So what we want to do is make sure they help people understand that this is the best time to write your book. And I'm not saying that just because I'm a book coach and I want you to kind of start writing. It's because there's no other time but this present moment. So hoping there'll be less time in the future is like hoping tomorrow you'll be younger. You can't be anything but you are now. So rather than trying to find more time, I want you to think about something differently. I want you to think about the fact that the time you have is enough, and all you need to do is allocate your time differently. So many authors think that they're writing a book or working on writing a book, but when I ask them to detail the activities they're doing with their time, how much time they're spending, and what productivity they have, we find out that they're not really writing at all. What do I mean by that? Well, I find that oftentimes when people say they're writing, they're researching, looking up facts, quotes, citations, very much from the days of elementary, middle or high school or college, where they're getting organized and planning. And that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with doing those things. But you're not writing a book when you're doing those things. Let's be clear. Is that a part of the process you might need? Absolutely. But oftentimes what we're doing is we're avoiding the writing. So we research. And then we end up going down those rabbit holes. Oh, I need to find out where in this place, this in the city, this takes place. So I had to look it up. Or I need to know the exact date of this quote. Those are all things that seem logical. But what I've noticed is those things distract you from the actual writing. So number one, eliminate all activities that aren't writing on the day or the times you're allocating for writing. So if you have to research, that's fine. Let that be a separate time, a separate activity. And when you sit to write, the only thing I want you to count as writing is how many words you put on the page. So if you have a goal, let's say, which I suggest you do have a writing goal for the number of words you create, maybe you write 500 words in a day. That's what you're doing towards your book. That's a reasonable goal. And writing at 500 words a day, you could probably finish a book in 90 days. Not a bad deal, right? But the problem is most people don't have a goal of how many words they need to write or they should be writing. So they just write. They write endlessly, right? That's part of the problem is that most writers think, I'll just have more time, I'll write more. But what I find is you need to be disciplined enough to know what your writing speed is, how much writing you can do in a short period of time, and then stick to it and don't count anything else as writing. And if you don't hit your writing goal, it doesn't matter if you spent 6 hours on your book. The only thing that matters is how many words you write. And if you spent 6 hours on your book, but you didn't write the 500 words you promised to yourself, then that's the issue. So also, I've heard people tell me, I'm just going to go take a weekend away, a month away even, and go write this book. I've heard that time and time again. I've had many of my clients tell me, hey, I'm going to go off to Sedona. I'll be writing my book and I'll be back with the manuscript finished. I don't discourage them because there are times when people go away and they do write a great deal. So if that's you, fantastic. But the idea that you'll have more time by doing that is a little bit of a fool's errand because one, you can only write so much in a given day. It's exhausting. Even professional writers who write full time might only write 4 hours a day. So you got to realize that your focus is important and is more important than the amount of time that you have. So that's mistake number one, assuming you're going to have more time sometime in the future or some other moment in time besides now. The mistake number two I see new authors make or first-time authors is they start marketing their book way too late, meaning they never once mention to anybody they're writing a book because they don't want to let people down or they don't want people to know they're writing because they don't want that pressure. But that's exactly sometimes what you need is some of that accountability. In fact, when I wrote my first book, I didn't know anything about these systems that I built today. But what I realized is I had been avoiding writing a book because my mindset was wrong about a book. I used a lot of tactics to excuse myself from the writing. And I take another course or I buy one more writing book or one more piece of software. And none of those things ever equated to a book writing. They equated to a reason why I wasn't doing it. But marketing is something you can start even before you start writing a book and definitely while you're writing the book. And most authors wait until way too late to start marketing the book. Now, I don't want you to think of marketing as putting ads up somewhere to buy your book. Most people don't buy your book because people tell them to buy it unless they're close friends or family or they know you. Maybe your email list will buy something from you because you tell them, but even then, not everybody you ask will buy it. So what do you do when you're marketing a book if you haven't even finished writing it or perhaps even started it? Well, I want you to think about this. Think about marketing or selling a book as needing a really long runway, right? The majority of the fuel of an airplane is expended on takeoff, meaning it takes an extraordinary amount of fuel, and that's a rocket too, to get off the ground. For planes to break free of the lower atmosphere into the air so it can begin to use the currents. And a rocket, similar, had to pass through the atmosphere. The majority of the fuel is used during the takeoff process. If you don't have a long enough runway, it doesn't matter how much fuel you have, you won't make it. That's true for marketing a book. So you're going to need to be marketing while you're writing. And that might look like this. That might mean you just tell people, I'm writing a book. Hey, everybody, I'm making a commitment. I'm writing a book in 2024 or whatever year it is. And that's part of marketing. Why? Because people need to know about what's going on before they even invest in it. There's a saying or a principle in marketing that it takes between 7 and 10 different times, maybe even more, of a message being shared before someone actually internalizes or even hears it. So just because you post it on your LinkedIn or on your Facebook or Instagram or Twitter that you have a book coming out, just because you shared it with your email list or even that you told your friends, doesn't mean that they remembered. And even if they remembered, they probably only remember when they see you or they ask you, or you ask them. So I want you to remember that you can always share about your book writing process when you're getting ready to write another book. So even if you've written a book, it's not too late if you're going to start marketing the next book to start telling them you're writing it. Let them know what the process is like. That's the mistake I made in a beautiful way, is that because I needed the accountability and the pressure, I created 30 days of videos because I was writing this book in 30 days, the very first book I wrote. And I often write them in 30 days because it's easier for me to get them out of me and then I can spend more time editing. Is I made a short video of 60 seconds or less, posted on my social media, which I had very little followers. And every day I talked about what I was doing for my writing, such as what did my process look for getting the idea? How was I organizing my time? Where did I write? Sometimes I told them I would go write in hotel pool areas. Like I'd go to fancy hotels and I would just walk in, go sit by the pool, order a cocktail and write, just so I could imagine what it felt like to be on a writer's retreat. Sometimes I'd write at a cafe and sometimes I'd write at a different spot in my house. I recorded those things and I shared with my audience that I was writing this book. And along the way, I talked a little bit about the principles that are in the book and say, hey, today I'm using the principle that I'm writing about today by doing X. You can begin to nurture the audience, your ideal reader, by sharing what it is your book's about, meaning not the content, because people don't care as much as what the words say as they are, why are you doing this? What's the point of this? What will I get from it? So marketing your book is one of the second mistakes that people make, is they market way too late. They wait till the book's done and ready to launch. And by then, though you might have the fuel to launch the book, you don't have a long enough runway. So it's kind of like compounding interest. The longer your runway, the better it becomes when you start to share about your book writing, right? Because the book launches, the only thing you really want to say is my book's live, buy it. But if that's the only thing you say, it's harder and harder to support you as a fan if they didn't even know you're writing a book or if it's for them. So mistake number three I see first-time authors make is they don't build their audience either while they're writing the book, or they don't nurture their audience that they have already during the writing process. It's very similar to the previous one, but I started writing my first book. I didn't have an audience. I didn't have an email list. I didn't have a business. So it wasn't like I knew what I was going to do with this book until I started writing it. And even then, I had to create a runway. So I knew that, but I needed to get people who are interested in buying my book. So if you aren't building an audience, just sharing about it isn't enough. So sharing about it is part of the marketing, but you have to start growing an audience that care about this topic. So you got to ask, does anybody care about this? Is anybody interested? Is this a problem that anyone else is having? Those kinds of things help people go, oh gosh, that's something I struggle with. Or, oh, I'd love to know more about that. Those are the people that are interested in your book, and you have to start collecting those emails. Maybe getting an email list provider like we use. We love ConvertKit. It's very simple, easy, creator-friendly, and it's a very intuitive platform. And we've been very supportive of ConvertKit over the years, and they support us. And so we like that email provider because it allows me to deliver emails to people all at once. You can't just send a ton of emails from your Google account because you'll get marked as spam and you don't have the permission to just email people endlessly. So you have to start creating a system for reaching out to your audience. And if you don't have an email provider yet, maybe you create a Facebook group and invite people there and tell them about your book and start nurturing them. Nurturing meaning catering to their needs, telling them about what they could get from being a part of this group. Maybe you'll offer them some early access to the content. Maybe you're asking them to join a group because you want early beta readers to give you feedback. Maybe you want to invite them along to write along with you. Whatever it is, nurturing an audience is helping the people that know it's for them is good. And if you have zero audience, talking about your book and the process and what your book's about can be the way you build your audience. If you already have an audience, start to let your audience know that this book's coming. Now, you're going to need to do a little bit more if this is a new content area for your book, because maybe some of your audience will care about the topic and maybe some won't. So you might have to nurture some from one place and take them to another. So you want to be nurturing them, meaning providing them with the lots of love and connection so they can be involved in your book writing process. Maybe help sponsor a book signing or a book club. That requires people. You can't wait too long to do it. And most authors wait to the end when they're done writing everything before they even consider this. So that's mistake number three that most new authors make. Mistake number four, that new authors don't set a deadline for their publishing or the writing process, meaning they just figure, I'll write this book when I'm done. they don't have a way of knowing when they're done. They just write a little bit every day. I think writers need to have a clear plan and make an estimation to their completion date. Yes, things happen. Yes, books get longer and shorter depending on the content, and your writing isn't always perfect. So you have to plan, though. If you know your book is 50,000 words, let's say, and that's an estimate because that's the average of a nonfiction book that's out there. So if I write 50,000 words, and for me, I'm a slow writer. I write about 28 words a minute. That means at the end of an hour, I have written 1,680 words, which is awesome for me. If I write at that pace every day for an hour, I will have finished my 50,000 word book in a month by just working 1 hour a day. Sure, I had some planning before, and yes, I have editing to do after, but the bulk of the draft of the book will come out then. So I have to plan for that first 30 days. Then I need to plan time for revisions. Then I need to plan time for, you know, the developmental edits. Is there anything I need to change? All before I send it off to editors. And then I need to know the editing schedule. How many weeks will it take for an editor to have a book? Editors should have a window timeline when they'll do X amount of words, they'll finish by this date. And then you need to take those edits and you need to give yourself time. So that can take anywhere from a month or two to six, depending on how complex your piece of writing is. You have to plan for it. And then knowing that, you have to set a publishing date, often well into the future, so that you can hold yourself accountable and two, that the audience you're nurturing knows when to expect to get the book. So sometimes first-time authors just figure I'll finish it when I finish it. The greatest thing I had happen to me is I was going to an event with my mentor, Steve and I's mentor, Pat Flynn, and he had an event that I wanted the book to be done with. And my goal was to send the book off to the editor, not only be done, but send it to the editor before the event. And I did. I sent that book off to the editor the day before the event. But that real deadline helped me to be motivated to finish the book in 30 days. So you need to set a deadline for your book, not just the writing, the drafting process, the editing, publishing, and the launch pre-launch dates. So that's something I want you to consider when you're writing and publishing a book. The last mistake I see first-time authors make is they don't deal with their imposter syndrome and they avoid talking about it thinking somehow it'll magically go away or assuming that there's something wrong with them. I usually start with this one. Now, I don't talk about it as imposter syndrome. Many of I say that to you know what I mean. But what it is that before they even start writing, many of us can feel like this. Who am I to write this book? I don't have enough experience. I don't have a PhD in this. I didn't go to school for that. There's so many other people who are smarter than me about this. Those are all the seeds of imposter syndrome. Here's another one. What if no one likes it? What if it's terrible? What if no one reads it? What if it sucks? Again, these are all the roots of imposter syndrome. Now, I'm not telling you not to think these things. I'm telling you to be aware that you will. And if you try to avoid it or just tell yourself, I don't have this, then what you end up doing is avoiding it and avoiding doing the work, the planning, the marketing. And all along, the reason you don't do the things 1 through 4 I discuss is because you struggle with this fear of you're just not enough or no one will like it or you'll get reviewed bad or you'll be a laughingstock. Those are all things I think. So if I'm thinking those things, I'm assuming many of you will, because we don't want to disappoint our fans or our friends or our family or look foolish. But I'm telling you, the book's review has nothing to do with you. And what people think about your book is none of your business. You're writing the best book you can in the time you have, in the content area you want. But to say that it's going to be the best book in the world is sort of like not real. It's not a realistic expectation. You can only write the best book you can for now. And that will always be the case. So don't sweat it. Write the book for you first with a reader in mind. Make sure you're doing it for the right reasons and not just to make people proud, but also because you're going to be proud. And don't assume that imposter syndrome won't be a part of your world. In fact, Stephen Pressfield writes an entire book, The War of Art, about it, where he talks about this resistance that will show up when you go to do something and you must continue to show up. You can't pretend that it's not there. And the way you know it's there is are you avoiding your work? Are you setting goals and not keeping them? Are you changing the topic of your book? Are you starting over again and again? Because all those things are signs that our imperfections are coming out, right? My beautiful friend Jada Selner says, I want you to take imperfect action because imperfect action allows you to take action despite how you feel about it. No one's going to be hovering over you, judging you. More likely, it's you judging yourself or the voices of people from the past, teachers, parents, guardians, next door neighbors, bullies. It doesn't matter. Those voices might have served you at a time to protect yourself, but they don't serve you in the writing. You have to trust yourself and know that your work is just as good as it needs to be. And it's okay that it's not perfect. In fact, it never will be. So most new authors make that final mistake. They think that imposter syndrome is something that will go away or they can avoid. And in fact, I want you to notice that you have it, see the signs and seeds of it so that you can realize it's keeping you from the other four things I'm asking you to take attention to so you can finish your book. Now, if you're writing a book, I encourage you to get accountability, get support, join a community, join a writing group, be involved in the writing process instead of hiding away from it. Because often authors treat writing like a solo sport, and it really is a team sport. Books get written with groups of people. There's an author, but lots of people support them. Myself as a book doula, book coach, book whisperer, whatever you want to call it, I've been called lots of things. Editors support those writers, multiple editors, designers, you name it. And even marketers, people, PR people. So you don't have to worry that this is all on your own. You have people to help you. Even if you're your own team, you're providing yourself support, then you have lots of different hats to wear, but still you can do the things that you're set out to do if you realize a community can be a really great way to support you. And we have an amazing community, Authors Who Lead. If you go to authorswholead.com and you go to our communities page, you can see there's communities for every single one of our listeners. And the reason I love the community is that you can be a brand new author, or you could have written like one of our coaches has, Heather. She's written almost 20 books. So it's a community of writers. It's people who are committed to the craft of writing, authors who are putting their work out into the world. The Author Apprentice Program, which is about just dipping your toes in, taking some workshops, watching some of the content and introducing yourself and realizing that you can do this. And then there's the Dedicated Author Program, which is more of a self-paced program to go from idea to manuscript, and then from manuscript to publish. And then the last piece, which is beyond the book, which is marketing and leaning into what's next. How do I leverage my book authority? And then lastly, if you want to work directly with me, the Mentored Author Program is a great program because it's a small cohort of 6 to 8 people that I guide people through every step of the way. And we meet on weekly calls where I help you get the book out of you. And that's where the bulk of the work happens, when people are committed to it and they have someone to help them and tell them what to do every step of the way. So you're not just guessing. But if you're listening and you've been listening, thank you so much. If you've been in our programs, you've joined them, participated, I would really appreciate you leaving a review here for this podcast. It helps other people discover it. If it's helped you, I have a feeling it could help others. I'm so passionate about helping new authors put their book out there, and also veteran authors who are maybe writing a new book, because with each new book comes a new feeling, a new set of anxieties. All right. So I wish you all the luck, and I will see you on the other side of your book writing process. Thank you for listening to another episode of Authors Who Lead. I'm Asul Taronis. We appreciate you. Please subscribe so you can get the notification that we have new episodes every week, and go to authorswholead.com to learn about our show notes and all of our backlist of amazing authors we've interviewed since the beginning of this podcast. Thank you, and have an amazing day.